Every time I read the end of John chapter 6, when the Lord finished his famous sermon about the real presence of himself in the Eucharist, and how 90% of his apostles got up and walked out, I often thought, well, what would I feel like if I gave a homily one day, one Sunday morning at Brentsville High School, and gave a homily that was so difficult for people to accept, that was so shocking and difficult and hard to accept, that everybody, the entire congregation, stood up and headed for the parking lot and drove off, except maybe the altar boys in the choir, okay? And then I would turn to them and say, are you going to leave as well? And they say, Father, we have nowhere else to go. Okay, well, that's what happened in today's gospel. It's exactly what happened. We have here the end of John chapter 6. As you know, every 3 years, we have these readings for 5 weeks during the summer. And now we come to the last week, the Lord's famous sermon that he gave in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, if you go to Capernaum today, you'll still see the ancient ruins of this very synagogue. And they take you through a tour of this place where the Lord delivered this famous sermon. Now, in today's gospel, it says that the crowd began saying, this is a hard saying. Who can accept it? And they began to murmur and quarrel among themselves. And in fact, what's interesting is that this is the very first time that Judas is mentioned as a betrayer of the Lord. Bishop Sheen says that this sermon was the crack in Judas's priesthood. This is the one that really turned Judas against the Lord. It says from that point on, Judas looked for a time to betray the Lord. Now, it says here, as a result of this sermon, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied the Lord. Now, the Lord had been telling the people that he was the bread of life come down from heaven. Unless we eat his body and drink his blood, we have no life within us. The people in the crowd were taking the Lord literally, and because they took him literally, they all walked away. Now, the Lord was a good teacher. The Lord knew that if he was being misunderstood, he would have corrected it. They were taking him, he was speaking literally, they took him literally, and because of that, they began to walk away. Now, if the Lord had been speaking symbolically as a good teacher, he would have called them back. Because the Lord in other places does correct people's misunderstanding. 2 chapters earlier, in John chapter 4, the Lord is talking with Nicodemus and says to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus takes him literally and says, how do you mean? How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born over again? And Jesus says, no, I'm not talking literally. He says, you must be born again of water and the Holy Spirit. He's referring to baptism. You must be born again, have your sins washed away, and be born again as a Christian. Now, another time, the Lord corrects people that misunderstood him. Once Jesus was out in the boat, and the apostles forgot to bring food along, and Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And the apostles thought that he was upset because they forgot to bring bread along with them. And the Lord said, no, that's not what I mean. Be careful of their evil plots, because they were trying to kill him. And so that's what the Lord meant. So the Lord, in that case, was speaking sort of figuratively. The yeast of the Pharisees meant their evil deeds, their evil plots. Those are 2 examples of how the Lord does correct people when they interpret him incorrectly. Now, in today's gospel, though, in this whole sermon of John chapter 6, the Lord does not correct anything. The Lord gives his sermon, and they interpret him literally, and he lets them all go away. Because remember, the Lord is saying that he's the bread of life. Unless we eat his body and drink his blood, we do not have life within us. Now, there are really only 2 ways to interpret this homily. We have to interpret it symbolically, or we have to interpret it literally. Another reason why we know that this symbolic interpretation is not factual is because of what it meant in Aramaic. In Aramaic, there was an expression to eat one's flesh and drink one's blood. And that was a symbolic interpretation. And that meant, in Aramaic, to persecute or to assault someone. And we see this in a few examples in Scripture. Psalms 27, Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah 49, Micah chapter 3, Samuel chapter 23, and Revelation chapter 17. In those cases, that expression, to eat one's body and drink one's blood, is used in a symbolic way, and it means to persecute or to assault someone. So if the Lord was speaking symbolically, what he was actually saying was, whoever persecutes me will have eternal life. Whoever assaults me will have eternal life. And obviously, that is ridiculous. And so it cannot be a symbolic interpretation of those words. If it were symbolic, the Lord would have straightened out, called them back, and said, no, you're misunderstanding me. But he doesn't. He lets them all go because the Lord was clear in his teachings, they were clear in understanding it, and the Lord was not willing to compromise or to water down his teachings that he's truly present, that he would give us his body and blood. Now, 90% of these followers of the Lord walked away, and the Lord was left with only 12. And he turned to them and he said, are you going to leave me as well? Now, they didn't have all the answers, but they knew one thing. They had faith in the Lord. And it was St. Peter, the first pope, inspired by the Holy Spirit, who stands up and he says, Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And so that's the answer. That's how we can accept this teaching from the Lord. He is the Son of God. The Lord spoke literally that we must eat his body and drink his blood. And he told them, the apostles, that everyone left him except the 12. And their faith was rewarded at the Last Supper. Remember, 90% of his followers left him at this point. And so now he's down to 12. And these are the 12 that stayed with the Lord. They hung in there, and the Lord rewarded them at the Last Supper. Because then at the Last Supper, it would all make sense how the Lord would change bread and wine into his body and blood. It would still continue to look like bread and wine, and yet the Lord says, this is my body, this is the cup of my blood. And so the Eucharist was and is the presence of the Lord in Holy Communion. Now, in our own lives, we can probably think, you know, we can sort of relate sometimes to the crowd, because if you read the Bible, there are many hard sayings in the Bible, many difficult things to accept. You might be struggling with certain church teachings, for example. You might think, well, this is a hard saying. Boy, the church is really difficult on that teaching. And yet, we're placed, a choice is placed before us. Do we accept it in faith and humbly submit to the truth because Christ is the Son of God and submit ourselves to the teachings of Christ and the church? Or do we walk away? And we certainly don't want to be in that 90% that walks away from the Lord. Sure, it's a hard saying. Sure, it's a difficult teaching. But we believe and are convinced that Christ is the Son of God. Therefore, we accept all the teachings of Christ, all the teachings of the church, because of Christ himself. Christ is the eternal Son of God. Yes, there are difficult sayings, there are hard sayings in the Bible and the teachings of the church, but we know, and we speak up like St. Peter, Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go to hear the words of eternal life? Only through Christ and his church do we hear those words of eternal life. And we can have this great statement of faith, like St. Peter, Lord, we have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. And there's the answer right there. The fact that Jesus is the Son of God, and what he teaches us about morality and what he teaches us about the truths of the faith, we accept because the Lord himself has taught us. And that's what happened in that reading today. In a sense, that's the end now of John chapter 6. The Lord gave this great discourse. Unfortunately, most of the people walked away. But hopefully we are that 10%. We are his faithful disciples who won't walk away from the Lord. We'll stay close to him because we know that he is the Christ, the Holy One of God. God bless you.